Welcome to the Minute Eight Game Podcast, episode 186. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
I don't like this music.
Graham Thickens.
And a good freezing morning to you from Bloomington.
And Phil Wilson.
Have you picked this as our theme? Is this our official theme?
Well, you guys were busting my chops about not having a standard intro.
Well, yeah, so. But this is a shitty one, so.
Yeah, this is
okay, hey, I'm open to suggestions. This is not my show. This is our show. I think I should call you and you can hum a tune. How's that?
Well, you know, it is October, so we should really say, Willkommen!
Yeah, yeah. What's that, Oktoberfest?
Oktoberfest.
No, Willkommen? No, that's...
Willkommen.
No, wait, Willkommen is Norway, right?
It's welcome.
God, whatever. Yep. Phil put in a very inappropriate image of Oktoberfest in...
I disagree. I don't think it's inappropriate at all.
In the show notes. Well, it's...
Fräuleins with Steins o' beer is never a bad thing.
You're absolutely right.
Am I right?
It is politically incorrect, though. These look like the Hooters girls version
of the Oktoberfest.
Oh, God.
It very well could be, yes.
And I've been to Germany several times,
and that's not what
the Bierstein women look like.
Girls
anyway,
look like, yeah.
Plus, I'm not looking anyway because I'm sitting next to my wife. So,
are you really?
Of course. No, we don't go drinking beer at Oktoberfest. Come on. You know, let's segue into your
quickly.
House. Phil's report on the MHTA open house. Now they've got new digs down in the grain exchange building, and how'd they look?
They were fine. You know, they have the office about nine people. I'm not sure what all nine of them do, but the office about nine people, and it's a nice little set of offices right next to Coco on the fourth floor of the grain exchange.
Oh, they're on the same floor.
They're on the same floor, right? You know, right next door to them. And most of the shindig was actually held at Coco. So we basically hung out in that pit area of Oktoberfest of Coco. So.
Got it.
And it was nice. Good event. I stayed for about 45 minutes, maybe an hour, and there was no special presentation, but I don't think there was one planned. So
okay.
A chance to just sort of hang out with some folks that are MHTA members and then also COCO members that happen upon the drinks.
Did any dignitaries like Mayor Rybak show up?
Mayor Rybak was there, yes. And it was a very nice event. So
cool.
Nothing really major to point there, but you know, obviously the Techni Awards are coming up for them, so that's big stuff.
Right.
So there you go.
And there's news about Best Buy, about them hiring top global talent, right, Tim?
Yeah. They seem to be making some interesting moves. They've got a guy that ran at Expedia. So it has some online experience to head up the BestBuy.com business.
Great.
And so I put that in because it's, you know, a local company, and they seem to be making some interesting moves to try to compete with Amazon, including there was a story I didn't put in that they will be lowering their prices this holiday season to compete head-to-head with Amazon.
Graham, you tweeted that yesterday. I saw that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a jolly good move. Did you catch that in my tweet? And then I said I was sorry for that.
No, you should explain that. You should explain that. It may be so
Hubert
inside.
Hubert Jolie, who people might pronounce jolly, it's they're having a jolly good time
it's
over there.
Did
you read where it's like getting the band back together? This new guy is an old consulting colleague of his. At McKinsey or something.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, they're getting the band back together.
Well, you know, that's usually fairly typical when a new leader comes in, wants to bring in people that are known quantities. Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
But at the same time, it looks like Richard Schultz is also continuing his buyout.
Yeah. Doesn't it look like that's progressing nicely?
Yeah.
I still give it a 50-50 at least.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, I always get concerned when we talk about transitioning a business into the online space. It tends to lead to fewer jobs, but We'll have to see what happens.
Well, one of the strategies is they're doing these smaller stores, which yep. are in less traditional locations than they've been, like in strip malls or regular enclosed malls. Mm-hmm. So they're not necessarily the mobile concept. They're like a new show or new store concept, which is take an entire Best Buy store and then condense it down into a third of the space.
Right, right.
So I think that's a good idea, and they're going to have more locations actually.
Well, does anybody know? I don't know if they still do it, but there used to be Best Buy vending machines at airports. Has that ever taken off, or is it just sort of a more of a side business just to kind of see what happens?
Oh, it must be.
Well, that was a partner strategy, though.
They didn't do it.
They essentially licensed their name with their guidance to a third party. And I don't remember the name of the company that did it, but I always looked at it and went, boy, you'd have to be pretty desperate to
to buy
one. But people do.
Let's say you're going on a trip and your iPod blows up, at the airport. Right.
Right.
iPods cost the same no matter where you buy them from.
Yeah.
So, buying one out of a vending machine wouldn't be out of the ordinary, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. Or an Apple accessory. I mean, when you need one, you really need one, If you forgot your cord, charging cord.
They're going to be selling a lot of those lightning cables.
Yeah. A lot of those.
No kidding. Well, I want to mention if people have not gone to the revamped Best Buy stores recently, they did two near me, one in Eden Prairie and one in Richfield on 494 and Lindale. You can really start to see how they're re-energizing the floor space. Very heavy on computing and mobile, tablets, and some fairly good accessory mixes. And so I looked at that and said, boy, this is really targeted at Gen Y and Gen Xers. 18 to 40-ish. So it's gonna be pretty interesting to see how this new merchandising strategy plays out. But speaking of which, one of the strategies that Best Buy tried for a long time was QR codes.
Yep.
And I know that for me, I always laughed at the process. You take out your phone, then you have to find the scanning app, then you scan it, and then it pulls up a web page and tells you some stuff. And I thought, nobody's going to do that. If it was scan this QR code to get 10% off this product, maybe people would be incented to do it. But
Target is doing it, though.
So what's the deal on that?
Well, they're doing a different QR code strategy. In fact, it allows you to ship that product right to your home. So I think it's not just information about the product. Right. That's the way I understand it.
So the strategy is distract your kids, go to this certain part of the store where they have the top 20 toys with QR codes. You scan the thing so your kids are in the other part of the store. They don't see you buying them, and then they ship them to you later.
Got it. That's smart. Yeah. Well, especially because it really truly does tie in bricks and mortar with online, and you can go in, you can look and feel and touch it and all that. And with Target, they're going to have a lot of exclusive toys, I understand. So only available at Target.
Yeah, that's a toll. Michael Graves thing. Ben Dunn.
That works.
Ron Johnson, like 20 years ago, did all that stuff.
Yeah. I know.
So in other news, we have a possibility of a emerging couple of phone companies.
They're doing it.
They're doing it. Yeah. I guess I'm sorry. That's
right.
It was amazing because it went from rumor to actual in like minutes, as I recall.
And the two are?
Metro PCS.
Yep. And I got to be honest, I know nothing about Metro PCS.
Well, they're a big city prepaid wireless company. I don't think they have, in fact, I know they don't have coverage here, but in New York, in San Francisco, in Miami, I mean, some major markets, they have built up a CDMA prepaid phone. So you buy the phone basically, and then you pay, I think it's $40 a month, I want to say, or something really low.
So they're an MVNO, one of them.
MVNO of Sprint.
So that's a mobile virtual network operator.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So a bunch of people that have written about this have said, wait a minute, you know, T-Mobile's a GSM carrier. They're, you know, they're not going to move off of GSM until they go full LTE, which is years off. Why the heck would they buy Metro PCS, with which is incompatible? And the reason is that they're buying them for the spectrum, basically, and the customers.
Oh, yes. Sure.
So they're going to convert all their customers to GSM, and then over time, once LTE runs out or rolls out, they're going to do that too. So they're buying the spectrum that Metro PCS has in major cities where they're going to roll their LTE out. So long term, it makes sense. Short term, it probably doesn't.
And then the rumor is that Sprint will probably buy them. We'll want to buy them both once they've merged together. Because I guess Sprint, the rumor is that Sprint made some sort of offer on Metro PCS. Was it Metro PCS or T-Mobile about a few months back? I think it was
Metro PCS. They were going to buy Metro PCS. That's what it says. And at the last minute, the board didn't move on it. And So now they're talking about coming back at them. Or the rumor is.
That's the rumor, yeah. And they would most likely wait for the deal with T-Mobile and Metro PCS to come to a close.
So. Well, so Phil, you should stay on Sprint then, damn it.
Well, I'm going to stay on Sprint anyway. It's too damn expensive to move off.
Yeah, I tell you what, when you have your whole family on a plan, it makes the switching costs even higher.
Very tough.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, Tim, or Graham and Steve, are you wearing your black bands today on your sleeves?
Got my black sleeveless fleece on. Reposted my Steve Jobs post from last year.
It's been 1 year.
Yep. And the one where I posted that from Edutech, Minnesota. And it was about the time he was passing away that I was there. And I did that post tribute to him and what he's done for education. And so I thought, what the heck? I got to repost that today after reading some of the other great tribute posts that people are putting up. There is a slew of them. It's a whole section on Flipboard.
And in case it didn't show up on your data glance calendar, it is the anniversary of Steve Jobs' death today, so which is the 5th of October.
Right.
And Apple has a fairly extensive video on their splash page today, and Tim Cook's message is there as well. So we'll put that in the show notes if you want to take a peek. That link, most likely, unless you're on the 5th, probably won't do anything. You probably won't see the video if you click on it any other day than October 5th.
Right, right.
Yep.
Well, the Apple website has a slideshow that's...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Pretty compelling and...
Very nice.
Yeah, very nicely done.
Some great quotes and Cupertino's got the flags at half staff today.
Yeah. Well, so coming up is an event that I have to tell you is one of the most high quality, interesting learning events that I've attended in the Twin Cities, and that's the Minnesota Interactive Marketing Association Summit, the MIMA Summit, which is coming up. And who are we going to have on?
Well, Tim Brunell, who is joining us today from the folks at MIMA, or from MIMA.
And he's president of the board.
President of the board. He's the grand poobah, as it were.
He is.
So let's bring Tim on.
Let's bring Tim on. All right. And I will tell you, this guy has done a lot in advertising and marketing. He's worked for agencies like Crispin Porter, Bogowski, Carmichael Lynch, Ogilvy, Arnold McKitt. I can't even say them all. Tim, are you on?
Yes.
How you doing? It's the whole gang here. And
well, I can see.
Hello, Tim.
Look at that. We've got Graham and Phil and Tim and Steve.
Tim, you don't have a little Skype icon. What's up with that?
No, I'm seeing his face.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not seeing it. Jeez, that's sad.
I don't see it on mine either.
You got to get off dial-up, you guys. You got to get broadband.
I see Phil's icon and Steve's icon. Steve looks very tan.
Doesn't he, though?
Tim, you're wearing a V-neck sweater, and so is Graham. You're both wearing the same icon.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. So how are you this morning, Tim?
You know, I'm doing fine. I got my morning meditation in, and the weather looks great, and I'm excited about the things we get to do today. So, you know,
yay. Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, you've got quite a pedigree. I'll put links in the show notes to timbrunell.com. But you've been around the horn a lot. And when you look at MEMA as an organization and this summit that's coming up in particular, how do you see everything coming together? I mean, at one point it was just, you know, how do we do, you know, interactive multimedia, and then how do we do interactive on the web? And now there's so many different aspects to it. When you guys look at creating the content for the MEMA summit, what kinds of big rocks did you guys turn over to say, well, we need to deal with this and this and this and this?
Well, I think the first thing to start out with is, thanks for the very kind words. But when I look at this organization, the reason MEMA succeeds and the reason that this particular summit or any of our summits kind of become what they are is because of where we are. You know, this community that we're in here in the Twin Cities is a very active community. And all I would say is, if you don't believe that or don't understand it, go move to another market. Go move to Chicago, go move to New York, go move to Seattle, LA, wherever, and try and find a collaborative community like Minneapolis. I mean, if you think about the other organizations that have grown up here in this market, you know, Social Media Breakfast, I-612, never mind the historic, you know, the fact that like the ad fed here is the first ad fed in the country. You know, there's a long history of community organizations, of trade associations that benefit the community here in the Twin Cities. And so the reason we have what we have is because of the people here who clearly want it, and they wanted it enough to volunteer. And I'll talk about it at the summit on Wednesday, but we've got, there are about 15 track captains. They're all volunteer. Everyone who works for MEMA, except for our back office, everyone's a volunteer. All the board members are volunteers. All of the programming committee track captains are volunteers. And so this is a long way to answer your question, but you know, they sit down a year ahead of each summit. So, you know, basically next Thursday, this group will start again and try to predict the future to some degree. You know, what are the trends, the subjects that will be useful and interesting in 2013? But that's what they've been doing for the last year, is looking at, you know, what are the forces at play? What do we think will be the forces at play? And then who are the instigators? Who are the people who have a handle on these things, who are writing about them, and who, by the way, are decent presenters? Because those are sort of mutually exclusive sometimes. You know, it's a great book writer, but not necessarily a great presenter. So the track captains are out scouring the world trying to figure out, you know, who should we bring in to talk about emerging trends? Who should we bring in to talk about the evolution of paid digital media? You know, and so that's where they end up deciding that, hey, well, let's get a panel, and we'll get the co-founder of Quantcast and the former CEO of About.com and the founder of AdExchanger. I mean, you know, so there's some really great talent coming in. You know, if we're going to talk about how social relates to local, let's bring in the chief revenue officer of Foursquare, right? So, you know, it's people like that. So we've got this, you know, a really great roster because the programming volunteers, the track captains, take the time, read the books, you know, read the blogs, watch the videos, you know, that are out there, and then kind of assemble this quilt, if you will, of awesomeness. The quilt of awesomeness.
That's like, whoa. Joseph and the quilt of awesomeness. It's a,
you know, that's
opening. And
hey, Tim, I got a question for you. Graham here. How many, give us an idea of how many volunteers work just on the Minnesota Summit, and how many hours does the average volunteer put in over the course of the year on this?
You know, I ran those numbers, was it 2 years ago or a year? I don't know if I did them last year. We tell people on the board that, you know, it obviously averages out during the year. They're going to do less work maybe in May or June, depending on what their area of focus is, and more effort now leading up to the summit. But on kind of a weekly average, you know, it could be anywhere from 2 hours to 8 hours a week, maybe more. The programming people, their work was mostly done probably a month ago, or, you know, when we locked down all of the contracts, and some of them got locked down earlier, and then they have kind of some time off, and then, you know, day of they're introducing people and things like that. But I think, you know, on average, like, I'd say like, you know, 4 to 6 hours a month.
Yeah. And how many of them are there that are working on this?
So there's 16 people on the board. And then in programming, there are, I think, 12 to 15 volunteers. Then the marketing committee has another 3 or 4. The technology committee has a half dozen people. We have roughly, I think, about 30 volunteers in different focuses. You know, and again, it's just people who are interested in kind of helping the community thrive.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you one thing that I was just very pleased about, because I've heard both of them speak at several different events, and to see Jane McGonigal as the morning keynote, because one of the things that people don't really see is how gamification is changing everything. They're, you know, educators are looking at how to do successive iteration rewardings for learning, so you can fail, and then learn. Instead of learn, take a test and fail or pass.
Or and memorize.
Right. And I've seen and heard her many, many times. And I will tell you, anybody listening to this, if you have a chance to see one of her keynotes like this, this is, she's a big brain. And then Guy Kawasaki, of course, from an entrepreneurial cut to the chase, get to the essence of anything kind of guy. He's fabulous.
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, so I'm trying to think, last year we had Chris Anderson from Wired, and he's really interested in this whole maker robot area. And we had Avinash, you know, from Google talking about analytics. And I think that, you know, it's like a year before that was when we were looking at booking those two guys and thinking, well, do we think this kind of make thing is really happening, and who to talk about it. Well, Chris is the right guy because he's got passion about it. And then, you know, Google Analytics or just analytics in general were a space, it is a space that, you know, kind of really seemed to finally land on the plate. So, you know, getting a lot of people's attention, and the whole gamification thing. I mean, that was the main subject at South by like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's still one of those, I think it's taken the educational community, the sort of the advancement in the education space, especially with tablets, that, you know, it's still a very worthy topic. But it's kind of, you know, we try to look for people who can come in and talk about something that's not quite yet mainstream, but will be and soon. So Jane is great because, you know, she's got a great book out there. And as you know, a great presenter, and I think she's really going to help a lot of the people in the community take gaming seriously in terms of the logic behind gaming and the way that gaming helps us, interact with information. Simply put, and she's just got it boiled down to some really useful insights. And so that'll be fun. And then, you know, Guy, of course. I think what the last couple of years, the whole VC space has been a little subdued maybe compared to where it was. But, you know, Minneapolis, Minnesota has a strong VC community. And so why not bring in someone who really, you know, can embody that, can embody the startup culture. So we're really hoping, you know, the theme this year loosely is no boundaries. And in many ways, the emotions behind that had to do with this kind of this sort of realization, and I'm sure you guys have seen this too, but when you think about interactive marketing, you think about interactive in general, and I've been in the space since 95, 94, and it finally feels this year like interactive is pretty much mainstream, you know, like the vast majority of adults are, you know, using the tools, and that you don't have to explain what the internet is, and you don't have to explain what like an embed code is or something like that. It just, even my mom, you know, kind of understands some of the basics. And so once all of the things that we were, you know, prophesizing about and standing on soapboxes, you know, about 10 years ago, and, you know, we were the outliers. So now all that stuff's kind of coming true. Well, then what? You know, it's like we truly are in this era where the boundaries around what constitutes interactive, what, you know, there aren't any, you know. So it's really kind of a question of what are you going to do with that? If everything is interactive, what are you going to do? So, you know, I'm excited because I think Guy will bring a sort of a financial perspective, a startup perspective, a business perspective. Jane's going to come and talk about it from the perspective of, you know, this force in terms of gaming that, you know, if you're not involved in the gaming space, you know, you should at least take a look at it because it is so profoundly affecting such a huge part of our culture. So, I mean, and then there's 45 other speakers in participating in 32 other sessions. So
yeah, it's amazing.
It's kind of mind-boggling. You know?
Well, the frustration
PDF of the program. Ahead. Wow. Kudos to whoever put that together. That giant PDF is, yeah. I got it in front of me here. That is one heck of a matrix.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of like part of the challenge with those things is, I mean, I'm glad we videotape everybody, which is great. And, you know, we'll put that online probably. It, you know, it takes a month or two to edit things. And Phil, you do those great interviews with people and we've got that lined up. Again, the kind of the behind the scenes backstage interviews. Yep. Let's get all that stuff online. So, you know, there is a chance to kind of get into it, but you know, the irony of an event like this is, you know, you can't be in two places at once.
Well, that's the frustrating thing, Tim, because you do put together such great speakers and then the you've got to make these choices that it's just such a, but the nice thing is that you will follow it up with the videos and the videos do help out a lot. And
but still, course, you know, life is full of choices. Like, the red tie or the blue tie?
That's an easier choice than, you know, some of these, because, you know, you're not going to have a chance to see some of these people speak again, except maybe virtually on a video feed or something like that. So, but it's, you know, you've got some great folks in here that may not necessarily have that big name value that like a Guy Kawasaki has or a Jane McGonigal, but have incredible depth of knowledge on a subject. Right. You know, as I look at, you know, a couple of the interviews that we've secured for the video interviews that I'm going to be doing is like Peter Shankman and Tom Webster and all of those folks that, you know, are kind of like rock stars in their own space, and they're not they haven't transcended, you know, to, you know, general overall rock stardom in the internet world. So there are some very, very knowledgeable people that will be at the MEMA Summit, and it is really a great event.
Yeah, and you got local people that are really knowledgeable, and you've got, you know, that's the other nice thing too, is that, you know, about a third, a quarter of the people speaking are highly knowledgeable people who work locally. I mean, there's the talent in this community is impressive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, it would be great to toss it out to have a 2-day event with a bigger little vendor space to go out and talk to people. That'd be awesome. And I know it's really hard. I mean, logistically and cost and everything else, it's really tough.
But Steve, you have no idea. Have no idea. 1-day events, much better deal.
If you want to have that conversation, you know,
join MEMA.
We've been there, done that.
I remember when it was down. 2 days.
But they're just fabulous sessions, because the one thing that I find really fascinating is how When I think about what goes mainstream in small to mid-sized businesses, what's going mainstream right now is content is king. People are finally, their heads are finally in a place where they realize it's not about throwing things up on a website or doing a blog post and having it go to my Twitter account, and that's my engagement, and writing compelling content. That's just a piece of it. You know, and so I look at the stuff like the designing interactive experiences. You know, it's about the experience and the whole gamification thing about creating motivators and incentives for people to engage, and how you go about doing that, how you do it authentically without it being goofy and so forth. These are all things that I know a lot of people that are just beyond or even in the enterprise space really want to figure out. How do we do that, and how do we do it effectively, and really motivate people to engage with us?
Right. There's the whole idea of enterprise and interactive. You know, there's been this kind of not necessarily a love-hate relationship, but it's been a bit of a, well, what's the ROI on this? You know, never mind, we've never really had ROI on traditional media. Cough. So you get companies, you know, looking at the technology and kind of being a little bit, you know, doubting or whatever. But then again, you know, it's people are taking risks and trying and you know, putting in, you know, social media war rooms. And I just am fascinated with the fact that, you know, business as usual cannot prevail, and that you know, kind of doesn't matter what we're talking about, whether it's the way we operate financially, or you know, just the notion that, you know, if you put it out there, whether it's an email or whatever, just assume it's going to wind up on the internet, you know, from a governance and a relationship reputation standpoint, you know, just assume everything is available. You know, whether you're a political candidate or a CEO, and to think that customers don't have control or that you can act as if they don't is, you know, hopefully quickly fading, because we're all empowered to this incredible degree. I was talking to some students at St. Thomas yesterday, you know, and I'm looking at people who are in their, you know, 19, 20, 21, you know, young people, and I'm thinking, boy, in about 10 years, maybe one of these people might hire me. but they are entering a workforce and a culture that is so much more fluid and dynamic than the one that I entered, you know, back in 92 and 93. And the rules of the game, you know, it feels to me like there are a lot of there's this sort of feeling in the business world that, well, can't we just go back, and it would just be so much easier or nicer, right? If the, you know, if customers didn't have as much empowerment as they do, and we didn't have to try to scale all these crazy new technologies. And the answer is just no, in a beautiful, wonderful way. No, we're moving ahead, and you know, don't be scared, because there's some really awesome things out there. So, yeah, that's to me a big part of getting people together for the summit, is that we, you know, we all collectively hold hands, take a deep breath, and jump back into the pool of new ideas and opportunities, and you know, and it helps us sustain our risk taking tolerance.
So just to finish, are there still tickets available?
Well, that's an excellent question. So, you know, we're in the moments where we're, you know, we're the people monitoring the incoming statements or whatever are sending emails like, I think so. We can tolerate just over 1,000 people in the space, and it mostly has to do with chairs and food. You know, if we didn't have to feed people or have them sit down, we probably could fit, you know, more people, but that's not very polite. So we're close. We were at like 997 sold tickets this morning. So, you know, we probably have like another 10 or 15 left.
Wow.
But, you know, we do have instances where people don't show up and things like that are canceled. So we'll be ready for walk-ins. And we haven't had this kind of a sellout since Seth Godin talked 3 years ago. So I'm excited to.
And this will be a better presentation, I think. It's my personal opinion. So.
Yep.
As much as I love Seth.
Yeah.
What he has to say, I think that you're going to see some information that you probably may not necessarily be something that you've seen before. So.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think with Jane and especially with Jane and guys, I think. So let me ask you guys. So for 2013, who do we bring in for a keynote?
Zuckerberg.
Yeah, right.
Come on. Zuck's really up for it now. He's doing interviews with everybody now.
Well, you know, I would love somebody like Tim O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Or Mary Meeker even to come in and do some sort of an abbreviated presentation of her internet. State of the internet slide deck. But not do, you know, 90 slides in 14 minutes, but to step back and kind of keep at the macro level, because to really understand trends, you need to understand, well, what do people have in their hands or their pockets or,
you know,
available to them? What's happening with all of the things that are converging at once, you know, the two screen thing with television, cutting the cord, you know, what does all that mean?
Right.
You know, and what are the numbers? I think people really need to understand, you know, you see a lot of different people throwing numbers out about cord cutters and people, you know, just watching TV online or buying shows or whatever. I mean, what does that ultimately mean if there's no advertising on that stuff?
I think anytime you can focus on mobile to some extent, it's obviously the way we're communicating with individuals and customers on a much more personal level. So, you know, anything that has to do with technology and mobile, I think that's the one thing that I would love to see more of is, at least a session that focuses on the tech of mobile and what's out there and what is possible as we watch, you know, right now, NFC still not quite ready for prime time, but it's lurking out there and that sort of a thing. So by 2013, there's going to be a huge amount of topics to choose from that we don't even know about right now, Tim, that. So,
yeah, cool. I agree.
And I would also love to see somebody like Leo Laporte make an appearance, you know, looking at those people that have taken video casting or podcasting and really turned it into a force to be reckoned with. I think that podcasting is still somewhat underappreciated, yet very effective in marketing to consumers and businesses. So I think that I'd love to see that.
Well, here's
but that's here, just me spitballing.
Yeah, but here's one other thing that I find interesting is a lot of people are not really seeing what's happening with platform plays in the cloud. And so, you know, like the local smart things that just did that huge Kickstarter. They tried to raise $250,000 and raised $1.2 million. They'll have
Alex and Ben.
So they'll have their hub and they'll have their apps and all of that connected to servers. Right.
But remember, and so, it's about marketing, Steve. So
I'm getting there. Okay. But when you have all this stuff going on in the cloud, now all of a sudden you own the platform and you're able to aggregate all this business intelligence. You know, what are people doing? How much energy are they using? You know, yada, yada, yada. And the same thing holds true with obviously mobile apps, that the more that you can do to triangulate computer and device use with the cloud as a platform and then get the platform accepted by others, that means that you are the one controls the business intelligence piece. And so I'd like to see something along the lines of business intelligence and trends in business and, you know, in BI specifically with the cloud and with mobile and with all this stuff going on, because those are the people that are going to end up with incredible power. I mean, that's obviously Google's entire strategy with giving away all this stuff for free. Hey, use our calendar and our email and our voice and our Google Drive and our calendar and all of that. And it's like, oh my God, you know, the only thing that they don't know is whether my underwear is monogrammed.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, man, oh man.
Okay. Yeah. So the question would be then, Steve, is your underwear monogrammed?
Yeah. I'm not telling.
That's big data. I don't want to know.
Some might say small data. You never know.
Big data is where it's at. And, you know, a guy like Tim O'Reilly could speak very eloquently to that.
Yeah,
to that. Absolutely. And there are some notable others, too, that are excellent speakers.
Yeah, I think what's happening, you know, with what Eliq was doing and some of those other, you know, the space within Salesforce, and never mind what, you know, IBM's going to end up, you know, cooking up. The idea of the positive side of it to me is finally a whole host of marketers are going to realize they're wasting their time talking to me, so they will ignore me. You know, to me that's you know, it's perfectly acceptable. There are so many products and services I don't need right now and I'm not interested in. Yep. And so if big data could help those people avoid wasting money with me, all the better, so that I do see and hear about the, you know, the things that do matter to me, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's not just about knowing, you know, whether or not I monogram my underwear, though that might be a really great piece of data for, you know, certain circumstances.
The folks at Fruit of the Loom, you never know.
Yeah. Underwear models, yeah.
Well, Tim, thanks for being on, and we're looking forward to the summit, and
we'll
do a recap of it, of course. And
yeah,
all right,
yeah, sounds great.
We'll see you guys next week, and next Tuesday night we'll see you.
Yes.
To the reception, and then we'll see you on Wednesday, and it'll just be awesome.
It's very cool. Always a great event. We're looking forward to it, Tim. Thanks very much, guys.
Great job again, Tim.
Thanks,
take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Just one of the good guys in the world of interactive marketing and marketing in general. Just Tim's just a great...
And it's those turquoise sunglasses or glasses of his that you really remember when you meet Tim, you know?
The man has panache. That's all you know.
I read on his bio, he plays drums in bands. So I was going to ask him if he's going to get on stage at the reception.
Hey.
And hit the drums a little bit, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing about him that I really like is that he doesn't pontificate. You know, he doesn't come across like a guy with his level of experience.
Right.
And all the stuff. I mean, he could really come across like, hey, you know what? I know everything, and but he you can just sense that he's sort of in learning mode all the time.
Exactly.
So
yep, no arrogance at all.
Yeah.
Just a really nice guy, easy to talk to, and always stimulates your thinking. You know, and I think that is, you know, why he's taught too, like at MCAT.
Right.
He's done a lot of teaching in his spare time. Not, I don't know how he ever has any, but with MEMA especially, I think he's in the second year of his 2-year term. My gosh, the time they put in on this is just amazing. And it shows in the product, you know, yep. It really does.
So it'll be another great event, and we have some other events coming up in the near future. Let's do a quick rundown on those, guys, before we bail and move on.
Who put the Sabaco event in there? That's happening this evening, Friday evening, at the U of M.
I'm headed over there.
That looks really interesting. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I've met Ravi Bapna, the head of that program, which is brand new.
Social media and business analytics collaborative.
Yeah, and it's a university-wide effort. It's not just a Carlson School effort. So what's fascinating is, you know, he's out to really try to bring the East Bank and West Bank together and really build a true collaboration. And this is Ravi's first speaker in his speaker series, and it's an economist from Microsoft Research speaking about the economics of spam, which will be fascinating. It's a $20 billion industry, and it'll be an interesting talk, about an hour long, and then they're doing a little reception afterwards at a nearby watering hole on the West Bank there. So, and it's free. I don't even know if you need to register. I think you can just show up, you know.
So that means that's tonight. Yep. So that's happening tonight, and that's when you, when I say tonight, folks, I mean the 5th of October.
Correct.
So
yep.
Right, and so then MEMA Summit
on Saturday. Sorry about that.
Yep, MEMA Summit next Wednesday, and then Thursday the Collaborative's Venture and Finance Conference.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, but what we don't have in here yet in the show notes, we'll have to plug it in, is mini demo in Rochester.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do that
road trip.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get down there for that. And I found out one of our local startups here in the Twin Cities is going to be pitching, even though they're trying to do it as Rochester startups. But one of the ones I met with here this week, Do Drinks, has Rochester-based clients. So they're going to be presenting too. It will be a good one, I'm sure. The first time they've been in southern Minnesota, they did one in St. Cloud. A year and a half ago, and now the first one in southern Minnesota.
You know, that should be great.
Yeah.
Well, there's a huge brain trust in Rochester between IBM and Mayo, just those two and all the people. I mean, there's a lot going on down there.
It is a great town.
So, Tim, are you going to go to the Word Up? I thought you might. I thought you were going to present there, maybe.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, and on what? What are you going to do?
On mobile.
Great.
Going to talk about all the ways that you can make your WordPress site mobile, from you know, the themes and plugins, which everyone's used for years, to responsive, to native apps. So we'll
fabulous.
We will cover them all.
It is
3 o'clock. So I'm between you and whatever your beverage of choice is at the closing ceremony.
Yeah, but everybody will stay for mobile. Everybody wants to do that.
That's
Saturday the 13th.
Right. Yep. Week from tomorrow.
Yep. And then She's Geeky is the 19th and 20th.
Right.
And Startup Weekend, November 2nd.
Yeah,
and then the 13th and 14th is MobCon at the Hilton downtown.
Yep.
And then, of course, after that's Black Friday. So if you're needing my Christmas list, please send me an email. And
Don't forget about MobCon. We have the discount code. I believe it's still valid for Minovate Pals is the discount code. MINNO, capital V, the number 8, Pals.
So, in lowercase. Pals in lowercase.
So don't forget that. So lots going on. Don't miss it.
Yep. Absolutely.
If you ever thought there wasn't anything going on in the world of tech in Minneapolis and Twin Cities and parts nearby, you is so wrong. We got lots going.
You is.
So,
thanks for
great
listening,
show, guys. Thanks very much for joining us again for the
Minovate Gang podcast.
Have a great week.
Yeah.
Take care, gents.
See you later. See you later.